Welcome to Indiana Sports Beat Radio.
So for the thousands in attendance and the millions watching around the world. It's time!
Three on the way. Oh! Elian! Elian! And Indiana wins the ball game!
Know your role and shut your mouth, you jabroni!
Throw game for the win! Gone. Goodbye. Touchdown, Indy. Woo! IU. America. They got a football team now.
It's pretty simple. I win. Google me.
You know that I'm the cream of the crop.
Oh. Now, here, Jim Coyle.
Alright, welcome aboard, everybody. Glad to have you along. Happy Monday. Don't know what all we got going, but hey, that's enough. Thank you. Please settle down. All right. Now we got all kinds of stuff going. All right. Hey, buddy, it's crazy. But happy Monday. Welcome. I hope you had a great weekend. Indiana Sports Beat Radio back rolling. Jim Coyle with you as always. Drew, the producer in the studio. And Greg Greatstraw joining us today. Dustin DePiric. And Randy Carricker. You don't know him, but he's going to come on and talk about the official Fernando Mendoza poll that Nyko Sports is putting out. Actually, they put out one for the championship a while back that you saw on here. And here is that actual ball for those that are following on social media. For those of you who are not, it's a three-panel decorative ball that is pretty cool, man. It's got the entire season laid out with every bit of this is embossed with helmets and logos, scores of every game, logos of the Rose Bowl, the Peach Bowl, the CFP Championship, all of that stuff. All of this is embossed. It's pretty cool, man, and definitely something that belongs in the IU trophy case for those of you that are memorabilia collectors. We'll talk more about that later. Brian says he's got like that from the Super Bowl win, but yeah, these are incredible, but they also have one for number one pick Fernando Mendoza, and we'll see that today, but you can go to nikosports.com, N-I-K-C-O sports.com, and find these, but there's a limited edition actually as well, so and even less for the Fernando Mendoza ball. So looking forward to talking about that. Looking forward to talking about the NFL draft, which was huge for Indiana. Indiana basketball continues to have players visit. We'll talk about that as well. But a record for the Indiana football program with the number of draft picks. What was that? Eight picks that got drafted. I mean, just a great, what we expected it to be that way. But of course, Fernando Mendoza goes first to the Las Vegas Raiders, which we knew that. But then the other names started falling. Of course, we know that, or we already knew that Omar Cooper also in the first round. But let's see, was it Roman Hemby that was picked up by Vegas as well? I'm trying to get, trying to remember them, but I have them all listed out as well. But what a great weekend, as we expected it, that it would be for the Indiana football program. And it certainly was, as they set a record for players drafted. You've got the number one kid in the 27 class that was on an official visit. Then you've got another five-star who was on an official visit in Monchon Sales. And Indiana, if they can land, boy, if they could land both of those guys, that would be phenomenal. But we've seen what Indiana and Kurt Cignetti does. As a matter of fact, of the players that were taken in the NFL draft, that were from Indiana. Let's see, the highest, I think, might have been a 3-star. But the funny thing is, how many of these guys came from JMU? And to me, that only shows, and that should show to players, development. That it doesn't matter who you are, what your star is, all of that, the right place, the right coach, the right mixture will make a huge difference in your career. Indiana, program record, 8 players selected in the NFL draft. IU football has now sent 14 of its national champions to the pros. 14. Wow. I mean, that is, you know, that's stuff that you've grown up listening to for Ohio State. Ohio State did have, what, 4 of the first 11? Are you kidding me? But that's a team Indiana beat. As a matter of fact, if you looked at the top 10 of draft picks, how many of those players came from teams that Indiana beat? Yeah, pretty nice. Besides the 8 draft picks, 6 more players picked up by side with teams as undrafted free agents. So, but 14 players going in from a team, which we expected it to be good. Mikel Kamara, the San Francisco 49ers. He has been one of the pillars of Indiana's football defense since the Cignetti era began. He will now team up with Kalon Black, who was also taken by the Niners in the 3rd round. Kalon Black wasn't even invited to the combine. If you remember, I was shocked by that. I'm like, dude, he's one of the best running backs out there. I knew he was going to be a great pickup by somebody. And you get picked up in the 3rd round as a running back, they've got confidence in you. Because running backs, if you're other, like look at Jeremiah Love, he got taken, what, 3rd? Running backs in the NFL, the average life is about 3 to 4 years, just to give you an indication of that. But he'll also join former IU teammate CJ West, as well as, is Curtis Work still there? He was one of the backup quarterbacks, but there's 3 players that will be on the San Francisco 49ers. Devin Boykin taken by the Steelers. Let's see how that works out for him. Lewis Moore to the Dolphins. He has to like that. Roman Himby to the Raiders. Yeah, I like that. Roman is also, they were just, what a combo Indiana had at running back last season and are going to have again this season. Crazy. But Himby joins Fernando Mendoza in Las Vegas, which will obviously make things, you've got a teammate, a former teammate. Nothing can be better when you get indoctrinated into the NFL, because I don't know if they make number 1 picks do this or not, but there used to be a lot of bag carrying. You know, you got to carry the bags to the hotel rooms and all this stuff that they would do to rookies, and they still do. A lot of times now it just comes down to money. Oh, you got to pick up the tab for dinner. And but we're not talking about a $150 tab here. We're usually talking about a $2,500 tab for dinner. But E.J. Williams also to the Raiders, a former target of Fernando Mendoza. So now all of these guys are not going to necessarily stick, especially the undrafted free agents. Some will, some won't. We'll see. But he joins Himby and Mendoza in Vegas. And the trio, former IU offensive players, who the Raiders picked up from just 1 class. Think about that. The Raiders, that's what they think about this offense and those players and the development of these guys under Kurt Cignetti. That shows confidence in what they're seeing. One team took three players off of the offense. All three of these players were very interactive together. So I'm sure they see that as maybe somewhat of continuing some continuity to assist a rookie quarterback. And these guys are good. So congratulations to all of them. Mark Langston goes to the Bills. The long snapper. Yeah, I'm sure when I said Mark Langston, most of you said whom? He's a long snapper. Those guys are important. I didn't think one would get drafted, but he was an undrafted signee from Indiana who anchored the special teams because I didn't think they would draft him because that costs money, baby. You can sign him for a lot less with the undrafted free agent tags. But congratulations to the 14 new members of the NFL from Indiana. So congratulations to them and everybody else, because I know it is a lot that's going on. And that's a lot of success for the football program. They had tons of players, and over the weekend, this was a huge recruiting weekend. We'll talk more about that later on as well. Let's see, what else is going on in the world? Of course, Indiana basketball is still trying to fill out their roster. I know they had, they have a visit coming up from Zhangji Wang. He is taking an official visit. And, you know, that's a name you would not be familiar with. San Francisco University transfer power forward. Zhangji Wang is being hosted by Indiana, a 6'9" center that played three seasons at San Francisco before he decided to enter portal this season. He's a native of Suzhou, China, and played for the NBA Global Academy before his college career started. So he averaged 8.5 points, 3 rebounds, 20 in 20 minutes per game as a junior. So not a lot there, just a backup, just a body, it sounds like. So, and sounds like one that's not going to cost much money, which is what they're going to have to do with those last couple of positions to fill up. But plenty more to get to. Appreciate you being with us. Got more coming up here on Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Back with that and more right after these messages. Welcome back, Indiana Sports Beat Radio, on this Monday. I hope you're fired up, feeling good, coming off of a nice weekend. The weather was incredibly nice. I mean, it was Chamber of Commerce perfect. A little 500 weekend there in Bloomington, and I think those races went off well. I understand there was an issue on Kirkwood, though. Let me bring in Drew, the producer, who's probably a little closer to that. Drew, what happened on Kirkwood?
There was a, you know where the Five Guys is at?
Yep.
Across from upstairs, there was a fight that broke out and between two females, and I think their boyfriends or something pulled a gun and started shooting people. So yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. They were not students, though. They had nothing to do with the university, which has become the problem with Little Five, is people come out of town and just ruin things for the students.
I'm shocked that this has not happened before, to be honest with you. When you have an event that just continues to grow and grow and grow, they had that issue with the Kentucky Derby in Louisville. There would be a thing on Friday nights there in town that cruising got to be this thing, and it be got out of control, and then it led to gunfire and stupidity. And so I'm shocked that this hasn't happened before without with so many outsiders coming in for this. That's why maybe they should not advertise it so much. Just keep it an Indiana thing, man. Just keep the, which you can't do that, but yeah, that's sad to hear. But did anyone get hurt? Did get killed? I have not seen the information. I'll be honest.
So there, I think there were 9 injured in total. One girl did get shot through the abdomen, but she's in stable condition. And the rest of the people, I think, were fragments of a bullet. So, I mean, there were a couple people hospitalized, but I think only one person was really injured. So,
It's a shame. It's sad. Again, shocked this hasn't happened before in this day and age, but yeah, it's just a shame. See, 5 hit by bullets on or fragments, 1 victim in the hospital now is what I'm seeing. Bloomington's police chief Mike Dirkoff or Dickoff. I don't know his name. Do you know it?
No, not really.
Dickoff, I think, has corrected an earlier account from police about how many people were hit by gunfire during a shooting on Kirkwood between Grant and Dunn. I lived on Dunn Street when I was in college, man. In the wee hours of Sunday on Little 500, which means late Saturday night, the number of 9 injured included just 5 who were hit by a bullet or a bullet fragments. Just 5? At a news conference starting at 1 p.m. City Hall, blah, blah, blah. Did they get the guy? That's what
I don't even think they have a suspect or anything like in custody. I don't know what's going on.
More than 2 people drew guns during this fight between 2 women.
Yeah.
Near the, as you said, that restaurant. I don't want to give them any bad pub, but let's see. 2 people were believed to have fired. Who are they firing at each other? I mean, why you got guns?
That's what I'm saying. That's just the problem with people. Like, why do you have to resort to guns right away? You know, like, I mean, I don't know. I know a lot of people were complaining that there wasn't a big enough police presence, like on Saturday, because Saturday on Kirkwood.
Where are you going to have a police presence from? Bloomington is a small town. Yeah. It swells to probably double its capacity on a night like this, and you're going to not, if you don't anticipate problems, you're probably going to have problems. I'm not getting on anybody because, like I said, it's been pretty good. This has been going on for decades and decades. And unfortunately, we're getting into a time in life where people don't value as much.
Yeah, it's just really sad, the whole thing. I don't know what they'll do next year. I'm sure this is an eye-opener for them. I don't know what they changed.
Yeah, but what do you do? This was off campus. It's off campus. This is a Bloomington police issue. I mean, I think Indiana would probably do well in paying for overtime Indiana State Police. Yeah. Or actually these facilities. And I'm not putting this on where the places where it happened outside of, they had nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
But they are also all benefiting. I think they all need to kick in, pay for added security, just in that whole area, which again, but what's going to stop somebody just because you have more security there from being an idiot?
Exactly. I don't know.
You seem tongue-tied.
Yeah. I don't know what you do from here. Like, it's just the same story every year. So, I mean, security, extra security might help. I just don't get how you not get all these people from coming in. That's the problem. Like you said, maybe you don't advertise it as more as much.
That toothpaste is out of the deal, really. I did say that, but you know, this has been going on since when did this start? I don't even know. I mean, is this far back as the 50s or the 60s? I can't remember.
50s or 60s, the girls was like, this was 70s. The 38th year anniversary. So, yeah.
Maybe later than that. All right. So, do you know who won the men's and women's races?
I forgot who won the women's. I think Black Key Bulls won. So, yeah.
Now, are they a non...
Yeah, they're non-frat fraternity.
Non-fraternity, which... We say that because there are most of the fraternities have teams in this, and there are only a couple of teams that are non-fraternity, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got that.
The most well-known, the Cutters, of course. How'd the Cutters do?
I think they were one of the teams that got piled up, right? There was
I didn't see the race. I wasn't there.
Really? Okay, so Black Key Bulls got really lucky. There was a big turn crash. They were on the corner and teams came together. There was like three or four or five of them. And so they were able to get past them and win the race. But yeah, it was crazy.
1951, Brian says, the first little 500. That's been a minute.
Yeah.
wait a minute. Does that make this the 75th year? Do my math real quick.
Yeah. Huh. I think so.
I don't, that can't be right. Is that 70? Because somebody do the math real quick. But I would have thought that they would have celebrated that a little more as such. But oh well. Hopefully we got through that and they'll get that taken care of. But lots of other great news, like we said, for Indiana football moving on. You got the Colts, the NFL draft that went on. Not a lot going on there, but they didn't have much to work with. But let's see. Indiana still looking to fill out their basketball roster. As I mentioned, they've got a visit coming from a San Francisco transfer. It's a backup center. I wonder if they'll fill all of these positions. I don't even know, but we'll see, because you know, this was a body they needed to have. I think they've got a few walk-ons still remaining, and they might add one more. I don't know that they add two more, to be honest with you. We'll certainly find out, but we'll look forward to seeing as they get these announced, as they've pretty much gotten there. I know a lot of people have been asking questions about trips and things like that. Well, we'll see after they get the team announced, but wouldn't be surprised to see that at all. Let's see what I forgot to mention Fulton, our good friend Fulton, our Special Olympian, was baptized over the weekend, so I got to give him a shout out. Congratulations, Fulton. Good for you. You don't have to go to see the bad man like I probably will now, so you're in good shape, buddy. Over the weekend, let's see, no IndyCar. NASCAR was in action at Talladega. And boy, did they have the big one in stage two. They had a wreck that involved about two-thirds of the field. And, who was it that ended up getting his first race? Number 77, Connor Hosevar. Is that his first name? I think so. Anyway, that was his first NASCAR win coming at Talladega, so big for him. The IndyCars picked back up. I think next weekend, they are off this weekend. This is the Kentucky Derby this weekend, by the way, people. The Kentucky Oaks on Friday. That's become as big a day. Lots of people down there, they're not happy, the locals, because that used to be the local day, and now it's no longer is. And apparently, they're going to run the Oaks race at like 8:40. That's over 2 hours later than normal. So You want to talk about a long day? Wow. They have races that'll start at about 10:30 or 11 in the morning, and they'll have an hour in between, and it just goes on all day. So you can buy more alcohol and place more bets. But yeah, lots going on down there this week. But and the recruiting action continues to go on. We'll keep up with all of that. Looking, oh, and now that the NBA season is coming to a close, what I guess it has for the Pacers, at least, the playoffs continue. You have a team left in the playoffs?
That I like or who I want to win?
Yeah, sure.
Big Pacers fan, so obviously this year was kind of a heartbreak. We'll be back next year. I would like to see the Lakers kind of get it done. I'm not going to lie. I think this is kind of LeBron's last attempt at getting that fifth title. They lost yesterday to the Rockets, but they're going back home. So they'll try to finish it off in five games.
IndyCar testing tomorrow and Wednesday. It's on the YouTube, Brian points out. And it was Carson Hocevar that I was trying to think about. Yeah, thank you, sir. Terhune Tiger, appreciate you. But yeah, we're only 27 days away from the Indianapolis 500. We're only, what, one, two, three, 4 days from the month of May beginning. So lots going on already as Indianapolis will become the place where all eyes are looking. The largest one-day sporting event in the world. So looking forward to that as IndyCar has just become an exciting event with different winners now. You don't just have Alex Palou, although he's still been dominant. It's going to be interesting to see who can pull out a win this year because Indianapolis is a different beast. It takes luck. It takes one mistake by somebody else to benefit you. It's just one of those things that you've got Joseph Newgarden, who as young as he is going for a third Indy 500 win already. I need to look up and see how young Bobby was when he pulled that up. But let's take a quick break. When we return, the great Greg Rakestraw will be with us from the Indiana Sports Network. Back with more right after these messages. Welcome back, Indiana Sports Beat Radio on this Monday. I hope you're having a great Monday afternoon. Joined now by our good friend, Greg Rakestraw from the ISC Sports Network. How are you doing, sir?
Good morning, my friend. How are you?
I am great. It is almost the month of May. There's tons going on. I don't want to look too far ahead because it's still a week out, but there's Indy practice tomorrow. They were off this past weekend, but it's about to get hectic in Speedway, Indiana.
Correct. So from an IndyCar perspective, all things are Indy 500 for the next month. So the open test is the next 2 days, and the forecast looks good for tomorrow, kind of shaky for Wednesday morning. They can always kind of go later into Wednesday afternoon, early evening if they need to. So it's 2 days of testing at the Motor Speedway, and then basically it is Grand Prix weekend next weekend, Friday and Saturday. Then after that, it is 4 days of practice, then 2 days of qualifying, another day of practice, then 3 days later is carb day, and then 2 days after that is the race. And so it is here. Race day is about as early as it ever will be on May 24th. So if it seems like the season is flying by or you're like, it's really May, yes, it's an early month of May this year, and track activity truly gets underway tomorrow.
Yeah, and it's amazing because it's unlike any other major sport or major event, even the Derby. The Derby is a huge sporting event right down the road from us, which goes on this weekend, by the way, with the Oaks and the Derby. But it's not a, it's more like a week, maybe two, but mainly a week, because they've got other big races that are going on in Lexington a couple weeks before and other places. This is an entire month where the eyes are on Indianapolis.
Correct. From a series standpoint, it's like that. From an event standpoint, having lived through both of them, they are remarkably similar. We get a little dressed up, or a little less dressed up, I should say, for our event than the folks do for the Kentucky Derby. You know, if you go to Rev, which is the party which comes up this Saturday night, which is not exactly my speed, you get dressed up for that. You're not getting your finest for Thurby or the Oaks or the Derby, you know, here in Indianapolis. But other than that, in terms of the civic pride and the way that we stretch this out and make this a month's worth of activity, they are remarkably similar in terms of Derby weekend, race weekend, Derby month, race month, etc.
Yeah, and it's just to see all of the teams here, that everything is, but and there's so many of them already based here or there in Indianapolis, but it's fun to see it for Speedway. It's just a great time for the entire community of Speedway. I know we think of Indianapolis, but it's basically the community of Speedway, and they have always been such a huge part of this and still are. Which is unusual, because if you look down south, there's a lot of complaining from the local people around the Derby.
Well, the city of Indianapolis embraces it. And again, Speedway is unique in that it is its own town, but you're having a sports show, not a government and politics show. I understand that. But like Speedway and Beech Grove operate as independent towns within the city of Indianapolis, which is all of, you know, Marion County. This is a 70 civics lesson on what Unigov is what I'm giving right now. So it's all about the town of Speedway, but it's really all about the city of Indianapolis. And so both of these things can be true. What I would say that is different from this as compared to, say, other major racetracks, like, for example, okay, NASCAR had Talladega this weekend, and Talladega is great, and it's one of the three or four biggest events, biggest venues, that they will have during the course of a season. But if you know where Talladega is, it's right off of Interstate 20. It's probably about an hour east of Birmingham. My dad actually grew up about 30 minutes north of Talladega, and I say this fondly, it's the middle of nowhere, all right? Most racetracks are like that. That is not the case in Indianapolis, where you are literally 10 to 15 minutes, depending on what traffic is that day, from downtown. You're inside the 465 dial. And so whether you want to embrace it or not, this is going to be a community event. I always joke that Indianapolis public schools try to end their school year on the day before Carb Day. Why? Because most of their kids in the IPS schools on the west side of town couldn't get there because of the traffic on Carb Day. This is a community event, whether you want to like it or not. Thankfully, most people, if you get it, you get it, and you get it for the rest of your life. And if you don't, you tend to move someplace else. That's kind of the way that it works around here.
Yeah, and the good thing is, too, is where a lot of complaints where the Derby has priced the locals out. It's more about just a money grab. And the Derby's, I mean, the 500, is, I'm not saying that they don't want to make money, but it's not like that. They're not trying to price people out. They have a big enough footprint where I guess they don't have to do that. They don't, it's not about the glitz and all of that, which that's nice and all. But you know what? With the 500, it's about the 500. It's not about who's coming to the race and all of that stuff. And that's what I love about Indianapolis and how it has gone through all of this, through all these years, but it's still about the race.
Part of it is the sheer economics of it in terms of the size of the motor speedway. You know, I'm not sure what the official ticket count is. We think the human being counts about 350,000 in terms of legitimate seats. We kind of think it's about between 230 and 250,000 seats that are available. Everything else you're selling is just kind of an infield pass. And obviously, again, there's some similarities between Churchill Downs, the Motor Speedway, in terms of the party that goes on inside. Oh, there's a race happening. Yes, there's actually a race happening. Those that are inside the track, you rarely know it. But my estimate would be the crowd at Churchill is probably about 150 if you include seats in infield. Yep. Well, the crowd is about 350,000 if you include seats in infield of the Motor Speedway. So part of that from a pricing standpoint is the fact of you're less likely to do that because you simply got more seats to sell if you're the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. But again, part of it is just the attitude of the events. The Derby, you are wearing your Sunday best. At the 500, you are drinking Milwaukee's best. Those are it's just kind of the different feel that the two events have. The community pride.
Greg?
What's up?
Can't you bring coolers in?
Yes, absolutely. You're allowed to bring coolers to the Motor Speedway. So, yes.
Derby, so you go through a metal detector to make sure you are not bringing in anything to drink or anything like that. It's amazing.
It's just a different feel, different vibe. And I think sheer size is part of that, Jim.
And the biggest, and I talk about this all the time, and I'm so grateful from a media standpoint, it is the best availability, approachability for media of any event, any sport that I have ever covered or cover. And it is, I'm grateful to IMS for being that way because it just creates a greater environment. I think it continues to perpetuate this event as being an open event, welcome to all. And it's like that all the way down to the media, which in this day and age, I find that awesomely amazing.
Part of that too is they realize sponsors. And so every media event, go in front of somebody and is also a chance to mention your sponsors, but that has always been inherent in the sport, and it's something that IndyCar seems to get even a bit more than NASCAR. Get in front of a camera, get in front of a media member, talk about your event, talk about your series, talk about your sponsors. Everybody wins when you do that.
Absolutely. And another thing that I personally have seen a shift in over the last couple of years, and I remember asking Dale Earnhardt Jr. about this a couple of years ago, but IndyCar to me is now the series that has the recognizable stars, not a number of them. And NASCAR, you've got a couple, and then there's kids, young guys, 22-year-olds, and I just don't know that that's a draw to people because the majority of people that watch auto sports are not 20 years old. And so I think IndyCar has really not only maintained its space but grown because of that.
I think IndyCar is growing. They are still playing catch-up to NASCAR. I think NASCAR is going through a generational shift. And this is kind of the generation kind of after, Jeff Gordon, Tony Stewart, because basically you're looking at about a 15-20 year run is what most drivers are going to have. There are those that exceed that from a NASCAR standpoint. Denny Hamlin would be of that group. From an IndyCar standpoint, Scott Dixon is exceeding that now. Or you think maybe the end is a year or two away from him, at this point. I'll go as far as saying this. I think there is no doubt that IndyCar is on an uptick, and I think the partnership with Fox has been tremendous, and now let's see if they can continue to capitalize on that momentum.
Yeah, because as I've watched NASCAR races and IndyCar races, the IndyCar races have been in some just really great environments, whether it's St. Pete, Long Beach, and I know they go all over the place, but other than like Talladega was packed, but I've seen several races that were like, wow, surprisingly sparse, even places like Bristol for NASCAR this year.
And let's be honest, the most empty seats you'll ever see at a NASCAR event is here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. You know, we'll have that conversation at the end of July, where I think the hope is that they draw 50 to 75,000, if not 100,000. But again, when you get to a venue of that size and you have that many empty seats, there's no way to make that look good. The optics are always going to be bad. And so that happens. and IndyCar doesn't sell out every seat, but part of what IndyCar open wheel racing is you're not selling the track. You're selling like the spectacle. And let's face it, it's part of what is talked about when IndyCar is going to race around the national monuments as part of the America 250 celebration coming up in August. You are selling the visual of these cars either running at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway or these cars running through the streets of Long Beach or along the Gulf Coast at St. Petersburg or down the National Mall in Washington, D.C., or these beautiful terrain road courses. Part of that is just the nature of IndyCar versus NASCAR, which obviously does some road course racing, but is always going to be primarily an oval series.
Absolutely. So what is up next for you? I know that you stay busy, and then we add the month of May into that, and that just throws another bowling ball into your juggling act.
So this is kind of a light week for me. I'm scheduled to do high school baseball tonight and Wednesday night. Forecast is no bueno, so I'd imagine my game gets bagged for tonight. I'm actually on tap to do Division I Volleyball Regional that's going to be in the Indianapolis area. Ball State is a number 4 seed nationally and gets to host a couple of matches. So that'll be on ESPN Plus on Saturday night. Would assume the likely matchman is going to be Ball State and Pepperdine. But as weeks go, Jim, this is pretty laid back for me because, as I tell people, by the time I get to next Tuesday, I'm a ghost for about 3 weeks. You'll hear me all over the map, but you won't see me because I'll be hanging out at the Pagoda, at the Motor Speedway. I'll be hanging out in the studio doing conference tournaments for ESPN Plus, doing college baseball, probably doing some small college baseball now. So my Google Calendar and dance card is very full by about the time I get to this time next week.
Yeah, I'm looking forward. And what all will you be doing during Indianapolis?
So you'll hear me on the post-race show for the Fan. You'll hear me on poll day show for the Fan, which is a 4-hour program. If you're at the track, you'll hear me on Grand Prix weekend on the public address system. On race day, Michael Young and myself were the early shift as far as race day. Bomb goes off. We go on at 6 a.m. I'll fill in on a couple of shows for trackside for Kevin Lee. And so it May is always, always busy for me. And so a lot of what I would call the shoulder programming that airs on the Fan that is not officially part of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Radio Network, a lot of that will be my voice that will be attached to it.
A familiar voice, and you will hear it often. We appreciate you, my friend, as always, and I hope you enjoy your upcoming week and your upcoming light week as you get ready to, you need a motorhome that you can just take out to the IMS.
I do, but I also live 20 minutes away from the speedway, and my wife and kids, believe it or not, actually occasionally like to see me, so that's the reason why I don't have, I'd love to have one, period, yes. That's the reason why I don't use one at the track.
I guess mainly it would be great for that last weekend, just Friday, Saturday.
It'd be really great in terms of getting there and getting up so early as I do. On the flip side, though, and you know this, we in the media and teams, et cetera, have our own gate. And so it's simply a matter of getting there. So getting there for me means the alarm clock goes off at 4:15 on race day. I become the first customer at the 13th and Capitol Starbucks. Last year, my drink ticket said Indy 500, did not use my name because they see me in official IMS gear, my polo shirt, etc., as I'm going to the track. Then usually I get to my parking spot, which is behind the media center and within a line of sight and short walking distance of the Pagoda. Usually I am there at about 4:45. I'm in my broadcast position by 5, and at 6 o'clock, bomb goes off, and I'm the second voice you hear at the track. And so that would be nice if I had said RV the night before the race, but at the same time, I'm not getting my Starbucks that way. So, and that's a full blown addiction for me, Jim. I'm literally sitting outside the one at 56th and in Illinois right now, waiting to walk in as I finish this conversation. And I'm kind of tweaking a little bit. So I think I've got the system worked out as best I can.
Sounds like it. I guess I will may have to start making those Starbucks runs for you. But if we get you a motorhome, just get you set up. Maybe
just build, if you give me a motorhome barista, now we're having a conversation, Jim.
Hey, we can bring in one of those temporary I can't believe Starbucks doesn't have a place in there, to be honest with you.
I'm sure there is foo-foo coffee in there, but Howard Schultz has been getting my money for years. I'm not going to stop anytime soon.
Hey, I hear that, brother. I hear that, man. Well, enjoy it, man. We look forward to seeing you soon, and enjoy your day.
See you, buddy.
Thank you, sir. Greg Rakestraw joining us here on Indiana Sports Beat Radio on this Monday. Glad to have you along. As the month of May is almost upon us, as we are on the 27th this Monday. But Indy getting revved up and ready to go, as you heard, open practice the next few days. You've got some rain possible, so we'll see how that goes. But Grand Prix coming up this month. Of course, the Indianapolis 500 at the end. Just so many cool things the week of the race, whether it's the qualifying, the Fast Six, and the 12 they run, and the pole races. And then you've got carb day, carb concerts. They've got so much going on. That's what makes it so cool. But yeah, looking forward to it, man. Looking forward to all of that and being a part of it. It's such a great, great time of year. Then in comes June. Basketball teams report to practice. Let's see, football takes a little bit of time off, but no time off for us, of course, as things continue. The NBA playoffs are rolling on as well. Oh, baseball, we've got baseball. Our Reds are still rolling. How are my Reds doing, as a matter of fact? Let's see, standings. I haven't kept up with them this weekend. They are still in first. 18-10, a game lead over the Cubs. The Pirates, 2 games back. Cardinals now 3.5 back, and Milwaukee, 3.5 back as well. It's so weird how this Central Division has flopped. St. Louis was so dominant for so long. Then it was Milwaukee, and I'm not saying anybody's dominating it now. The Reds are finally plus +1 in run differential on the season. They're 28 games into the season, and they've scored one more run than their opponents have. Yet, they're 18-10 and lead their division. Now, let's look at the Atlanta Braves. First in the American or National League East. They're 20-9. A game and a half better? But they're plus +65 in run differential. They're killing people when they win. So that's a scary thing to see, especially when you look, the Reds are plus +1, like I said. The Cubs behind them are plus +31. The Pirates are plus +24. Let's take a break. Well, almost. I'm not quite there yet, Dustin. Dustin Pyrick is going to join us next, but I've got him here because I've got a minute or two left before a break. I was just talking baseball. Are you a Pirates fan?
Yeah, we talked about this. I mean, like, it's a complicated question because I've covered them. So,
yeah, that's okay.
My shorthand answer is yes, because that's who I grew up rooting for.
Yeah.
Like, it's a weird deal where I still kind of had this strange feeling like I'm still supposed to be objective because I
do. Yeah, but you're not covering.
But you know, like my parents root for them, you know, like all that kind of stuff. If I follow them, I guess at the end of the day, I'm generally happy when they don't. So I guess, yeah, I mean, that's the simple answer. But if we're talking baseball, we're just getting into it. The Pirates are the team I follow.
Yeah. This Central Division is weird. The Reds are leading it. They have one, they're a run plus +1 run differential. Mm-hmm. The Pirates are third, couple games back. Plus +24. The Cubs are plus +31. It's a weird, weird deal. But
it is still April 27th, and
the Central Division is always a weird deal, is it not?
Baseball is small, a small sample size deal. It's very different at this stage than it will be. You know, I mean, like you don't really know how the thing shakes out until we're in at least June. But it's still an interesting start. I mean, like you can get out to a bad start and put yourself in a hole that you can't get out of. So you know, like it's not like April doesn't matter. It does. You know, like
they how about the Phillies though?
What's up?
They're 9-19. They're already 10 games back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like
wow.
I mean, there's some teams that put themselves in real trouble. The Mets. You know, like you've already got. I mean, Boston just fired their manager, like their whole coaching staff.
Yeah, that was crazy. Yeah. Hey, we've got to take a break. Sure. Dustin Empiric with us. We've got more coming up on Indiana Sports Beat Radio with Jim Coyle right here on 1380 The Fan, Fort Wayne's only sports station. Welcome back, Indiana Sports Beat Radio on this Monday. Glad to have you along. I hope you're having a great afternoon, no matter where you are. And Dustin DePiric from the Indy Star joining me as well. I was just trying to pull up, Dustin, how many NCAA titles the Big Ten has won this year. I just happened to see, and I know it's water polo, but USC won the water polo, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, they've won about 8 titles now that I keep thinking about. Mm-hmm. So they're dominating college sports. I mean, we know that they've won the biggies, football 3 years in a row, but now women's and men's basketball, but they won wrestling. They won, I don't even know, wrestling, volleyball.
Baseball team. Got the best baseball team in Division I. Yeah, I mean, there is
USC or UCLA.
UCLA. Oh. UCLA is ripping people. I gotta check and make sure.
Washington. Right. Washington won the soccer title.
I missed that, but
I did too. And I was like, wait, what?
Yeah. No, I mean you like as far as like their depth, you know, like it for as wild as it is to add those programs and the what's the word I'm looking for here? Just the logistics of saying, oh, we're going to be a bi-coastal league now. You know, that this is going to stretch from Rutgers to USC is wild. And I still wonder about total effect on it. But you do add programs that have won at a lot of stuff. You know, I mean, it puts you in and gives you like longtime contenders in sports that you didn't necessarily have, you know? And so like it opens up a lot of like, you know, what water polo is a thing you weren't even doing before, you know? And so that kind of stuff, you know, like my favorite line, I think when they were added was like something about beach volleyball. Like Ryan Karcher, who used to cover IU with me at the Herald Times, covers the USC for the LA Times now. And I think I remember him writing a line of like the teams will still compete in the Pac-12 for beach volleyball or something, or like, I mean, he just pointed that out. I was like that encapsulates everything of like how weird this is, but it does open up opportunities that weren't there, you know, and again, like obviously the Big Ten's gotten way better at baseball. We certainly follow the arc of, you know, Indiana becoming a power when it did. It's not quite there this year or whatever, but you know, like UCLA, USC have always been, you know, because they play in LA, like of course they're going to be good, and they are, and UCLA is phenomenal, and you know, but like Washington's been good, you know, Oregon's been good, you know, at those sports, but then you get into track and you're adding a power in Oregon, you know, stuff like that. I mean, like you've dominated, like they've dominated wrestling, you know, like the Big Ten has owned wrestling for decades.
And volleyball now.
Yeah, I mean, like you add real volleyball teams, you know, that are going to be
swimming.
What's that?
Swimming. Yeah.
You were already pretty good at swimming. You add more teams that are good at swimming, you know.
Like, so, it's just crazy dominance, which it's great to see. But when are we going to have the Super League? I mean, let's just get it on.
Oh, I mean, do we really want it? I mean, like, I don't know what's What's up?
Not for every sport.
Right. Just I think the issue is, I mean, I do wonder, you know, like there is the what's better for the Big Ten and what's better for, you know, like the country. And I don't know that this whole thing has been better for the country, you know, of putting it into, you know, creating bigger and bigger leagues. I mean, like you're not, you know, like it, I think it was, it felt easier to assess what was going on and who was really good and who wasn't, when you had smaller leagues and they were all playing everybody in their league, you know, and you having a couple of non-conference games in football and a certain amount in basketball or whatever. You know, again, like it works great for the Big Ten to add more powerhouses. And it's, and like also like what the Big Ten has sort of done, which it obviously did in football and basketball, is you could be really, really top heavy. You know, you can have at the bottom of your league teams that everybody else beats the crap out of. But at the top of your league have these, you know, top echelon teams where there are smaller conferences. Like I think the Big 12 was stronger top to bottom, but like the Big 10 had teams that were way better than them. And in basketball, I mean, in particular. So, you know, it's like, I don't know that we're going to do a super leagues where it's going to be, you know, 4 16 team leagues and that's it. You know, like I don't know that that's where we're, I don't know that it's going to end up there, because I think there is going to be some level of dissatisfaction of how this whole thing feels. And how, like, how it's viewed in terms of how it's consumed, you know, what games are there and what aren't, what games aren't there. You know, like, I think there's going to be there's going to be some pushback on this, eventually. And there probably will be, there could at some point be a, like, can't we just have a regular Pacific Coast Conference? You know, like, does it really make sense to keep doing this? But while they are doing it, the Big Ten should, you know, like, enjoy it while it lasts, basically. You know, take in the fact that, like, you've got, you know, you've got UCLA being a power over here and USC being a power here and Washington being a power there and Oregon being a power there. You know, like, take advantage of it. But as far as, like, are we going to – I mean, I don't know if we're going to keep getting bigger, because I don't know that everybody loves this so far.
Yeah, and I wonder if the Big – Or the West Coast schools, particularly UCLA, USC, and Washington, Oregon, both, I guess, would be better in football if they didn't have to travel so much for these big time games.
Yeah.
But they're going to have to travel somewhere, because
I think it's a bigger deal in basketball. Yeah. I think it's a bigger deal in basketball. You know, I think that's where you're seeing it. And obviously we're worked out in women's, you know, UCLA won, you know, still won the whole thing. But I mean, I got to go back to it, but like, it seemed like, you know, and I don't remember how this actually tracked. But you know, like there wasn't great records, as I recall, for the West Coast schools in basketball. You know, like I don't think it's served them particularly well, because they're the ones that's doing more traveling. Yeah, I mean, like Oregon was 5-15, USC was 7-13, Washington was 7-13. You know, UCLA was the only team with a winning record of 13-7. You know, and they kind of rallied, as I recall. I mean, obviously Mick Cronin was struggling pretty bad there early, and winning some games, losing some games that I don't think they thought they should lose. You know, they. You know, put it together down the stretch. I think won 6 of their last 8 in Big Ten play, you know, but had a loss at Minnesota in there, where I think, you know, we could say, okay, that's a better team. They were a better team than Minnesota. Like, they didn't lose their last, let me look here. They didn't win a road game in the Eastern or Central time zones after January 14th. So, you know, and that was a good UCLA team. You know, like those guys are pretty good. You know, they lost to Minnesota on the road. They lost to both Michigans on the road. They lost to Ohio State on the road. And so, like, if they were coming out east, they were losing. So, you know, like, I think it is a bigger deal. You know, it's a bigger deal than basketball. In football, you're used to traveling, and in football, it's only doing it one day a week. You know, and like that has an effect, but doesn't have a huge effect. Basketball, when you're traveling in the middle of the week, okay, is where it's at the worst, because most other sports are very weekend driven. Like baseball, for instance, you have 3-game series on the weekend, and you have your weekday games are non-conference, and especially once you get into conference play, you're generally playing them within driving distance. You know, like you might do a little bit more out there during, you know, the early part of the year before you get into conference play, but mostly if it's like, if you're getting 3-game weekend sets, you're having a 1-game like midweek game to kind of keep you tuned up. But like mostly, you know, if you're playing on the road, you're not driving far. Like Indiana, usually it's playing like Ball State or, you know, like Louisville. Like those are kind of like the big ones. You know, like I'm mostly going off what these schedules were like when I was covering it. But it's like they'd have like a couple Louisville games and that was the deal. But like you were still, the awkward part about that is you were throwing your fourth starter in those games. And like, they were still like big, but it's kind of an awkward feel. But you know, the rest, like you're playing mid majors that you can drive to. Basketball is the sport where you're playing a Tuesday game and it's, you know, they're all conference games once you get into January. And, you know, like there's no breaks in that. You're not doing anything to ease it at all. And so like you're traveling and you're playing real games, like there's not a buffer there. And so that's where that is, I think, the sport that is most affected, because it is the most every day of the week sport in college sports right now. And so that's where you're going to see the effect. And that's where people, you know, going to get sick of it as far as the travel is concerned.
Yeah, and hello, Maxine. Yeah, and I've seen, well, the West Coast teams, basically, they only have, as far as conference goes, there's only three other teams, and one of them's in the same damn city that right. They can play during the week. So that means they don't have a choice but to travel during the week more frequently. At least you do have to be there a day before, so that gives you some time to acclimate. And I think that they've tried to do two-game sets. When you travel like that, so that should help offset
that. That helps somewhat, but it's still tough. You know, it's still tough. Like
it's similar to the NBA.
What's that? NBA is different because you don't have to go to class.
Huh?
NBA is different because you don't have to go to class. You don't have to. I mean, you can do a whole week on the road. You know, like the NBA is like when they're playing, you know, like when Indiana, I mean, like, but they stack those too. So like when the Pacers go out west, they go out west for 10 days, you know, but like, again, like you don't, and you could say whatever you want about, okay, these kids don't really care or whatever, but like, they're still supposed to try. Like
they probably have tutors with them. I'm sure that they have things set up to take care of that. I would imagine.
I mean, that's still time. Like whether or not they're, no matter what you're doing, like, You are still like
you're getting paid.
When players go out west and when they're pros, they sleep. Like, you know, that's what that cuts into is, you know.
But that's no different than being a college student. I mean,
right. But you still have to go to college. At the end of the day, it's still more taxing. Like, trust me, like I go out west. When I go out west and I'm not, you know, like I'm just writing. You know,
oh,
like,
I get it. Trust I'm me. Tired, the travel man. Is you know, like, hard.
You come back and it's just, I mean, like, it's just being on a plane, being on this, being on that and whatever. And like, they're folding themselves into these, you know, no matter how nice your plane is and you're 6'11", you know, like it's a weird feel, you know, right. Like no matter even when you got, you know, the private jets and even when you got the chartered planes and everything like that, like you still got to sit still for, you know, 2 hours, 3 hours, however long you're on a plane. And don't get me wrong. Like these guys get taken care of. Like it's 5-star, you know, hotels and all this kind of stuff, you know, but like, it's still like, it is still your body is being taxed. And so like when you're traveling out west, when you're traveling that far out, and then you add onto that, like you got to care about class, you know, like you got to care about this. And it's even like, it's more of a shock to run out there and run back. You know, like, and again, that's why, like, you know, if you're an NBA team and you're an East Coast team and you do a West Coast trip, you do them all at once. You know, like you got one big flight at the beginning and you're out there for 6-7 days and it's pop to here, pop to here, pop to there, pop to there. You don't come back, you know? And so like, there's things you can do to mitigate, but like, you know, I mean, like you went to class, you went to school, like it's just, you know, like it, you are missing something if you're not in class. You know, like, and you're having a tutor tell you this and tell you that, like, it ain't your professor, you know, like it's tutor. It's like, and it helps, you know, like, I'm not going to act like it doesn't make a difference, but like, you know, you missed the lecture, you missed the point of the story, you know, like of whatever it was. And so like, you're always playing catch up. And so it just, it's a tax, it's a physical tax on you. And so like, and you know, look, like I'm not trying to act like it's, you know, like a lot of us that didn't play college sports would have killed to play college sports. I'm not going to try to act like, you know, it's a terrible life. And, you know, these guys sign up for this, they get paid now, you know, like it's not a boo-hoo sort of thing, but like it does have an effect. And again, I think that's why you're going to see the effect in basketball more than you see it in anything else, because that is going to be the sport where it is most messing with your rhythm.
Five Levs following along on YouTube, where you can as well, says Jim didn't go to class. That's not true. If I did anything, I went to class. I may not have studied as much as I should have, but by God, I went to class no matter how early it was. I put the hat on. I was in class. I took notes in every class, and I just studied the notes for test. I was not the best student. I will give you that. But yeah, I was in class, baby. That's the one thing I did do. I was not.
You paid for it, man. You should show up.
Chance.
Yeah. If you paid for it, you should show up. You know, like what's the point of wasting the time? Like I only blew off class for newspaper assignments. So
there you go.
I rarely blew off a class.
That's the one thing I didn't do. It was funny because not like I was a great student, but I was there. They couldn't say that. But let's see. We got to take a break anyway. The great Dustin DePirik is with us. Great weekend for Indiana football, Dustin.
Yeah.
As, they put 14 players in the league. That's pretty good. 8 drafted. That's a program record. All of this is a program record, but we've got the NFL draft coming up over NBA draft coming up next, but plenty more. Dustin DePirik from the Indy Star with me, back with more right after these messages. Welcome back, Indiana Sports Beat Radio, on this Monday. I hope you had a great weekend and set to have a great week, because we got to do it again. It's here, right? Dustin DePirik from the Indy Star with me. And while the Pacers season is over on the court, it will begin in the boardroom, or it has already begun in the boardroom, as they will settle in and wait. When is the lottery pick?
May 10th.
May 10th.
May 10th, 3 p.m. It's all on the line.
Boy, yep. All over a damn ping pong ball.
Multiple ping pong balls, many ping
pong. Right, but
yeah,
it's which one comes
lottery
up.
Lottery tickets. Yeah, it's not one. It's lottery ticket combinations. They pick out a bunch of balls. Like there are, yeah. So it used to be just one, like, you know, you got the logos on it and stuff like that, and you pick out the ping pong balls, and then you pick out everybody else and stuff like that. Like now it's, you get like, they give out lottery tickets. So like everybody gets a ticket, and there's like, how many, I mean, I think there's like 1,001 potential combinations. Like there's like a whole lot of balls that they put in there that are numbered 1 through 14. And then they pick these out, and so it's like, it's based on what combinations you have. So they give all of these teams like lottery, like literal lottery tickets with like a combination of numbers on them. So, and it doesn't matter like order. So like if it's basically like in any order, you know, it's like if you kind of have this circle, like.
So what do you, you have the most matching numbers? So is it if you have the most matching numbers?
No, they make it so that you can't miss. Like it's going to be like they pick up like, I think it's like five balls is a combination. And so it's they'll pick out the teams they'll pick out the numbers for the first pick, and it'll be like five balls. And they'll make it like somebody's going to have that combination. They will print out all possible combinations that you could possibly have. So somebody in the room will have it.
Is this the easiest way to do this? Because this sounds like trigonometry.
No, it's just a lottery. I mean, like, is it the easiest way? No, but like, I think it's like, okay, try to make it. I don't know. Like, they are really, they're really
trying to avoid the tank. Ultimately, I mean, they're trying to avoid the tank.
They were trying to avoid the tank in the first place, and so it's like, I mean, I guess it's making it more complicated to be able to say, like, to be more, like. To try to make it more like we can't fix this, you know, like we can't like
trigger lottery. I like that.
I mean, and by fix, I mean like we can't like they like you fix, you know, like they fixed the World Series. Like they're looking at it as like, we're trying to prove that we couldn't game this, that this is how the lottery happens. And like, it is, I mean, like they've got Ernst & Young as like I'm pretty sure is the accounting firm that is in charge of doing this, you know? So like, they know that the that everybody thinks that the NBA lottery is fixed. And so, or not everybody, a lot of people more like, I would say that NBA draft lotteries are the most believed upon conspiracy theories in sports. You know, like people believe that like they froze the envelope for them, the Knicks, to get to pick Patrick Ewing in 1985. I feel like anytime there's any discussion of the draft, you know, in the lottery, everyone's like, well, they obviously like rigged last year's draft to get Cooper Flagg to Dallas to make Nico happy, which I don't understand the logic there. But you know, one way or the other, there's generally this view that this thing is fixed. And so they make it more complicated so that it would be harder to fix if they could, you know, like they basically say like, look, we're not doing it. We promise we're not fixing it. This is what's coming out. And, you know, like your reporters are allowed to be in the room. Like you have to be approved. Like there's a specific, you know, like you have to tell them in advance you want to be there and they have to pick you. And I'm hoping to be able to do that this year. But you know, like they do these things to make them complicated, to make it so that it would be impossible to fix. And so, and to be able to say like, look, there's no, you know, we're not weighting the balls in a certain way. We're not doing this. We're not doing that. Like we're making it so that it would be impossible for us to, you know, decide which ping pong balls come out here. So if there's more of them, then it's technically harder to do. Like if you're saying like it requires more, you know, more ping pong balls to be selected to create a combination, you know, then it makes it more complicated. Like if you made it simple, like you could fix it easier, you know, like you could game it, you could rig it. And so their view is like, we're doing it in such a way that would make it impossible to rig. So, you know, that's I think the logic behind making it a little bit more complicated and making it harder to do. Like, I mean, it's the end of the day not that complicated. It's just it is like a lottery combination, you know, like the actual lottery that you used to watch after the 6 o'clock news, you know, and how they still do, you know, lottery tickets now. It's, you know, you're picking out a certain amount of ping pong balls, and it's like the difference is you don't have to have them in order. You know, like you don't have to have them like written down in order. It like whatever order you have them in, you have them. If it comes out 14, 6, 7, 3, 5, you know, like if you have those numbers in any order, like then you won. But somebody's going to have it. You know, somebody in the whole thing, somebody in the room is going to have that combination. Right.
I just like to win any lottery. That would be, sure. That would be sweet. But that's going to be wild to see how this works out. But one thing that did work out, as I mentioned earlier, Indiana football team players signed with NFL teams, a program record, 8 of them drafted. And not all of them are guaranteed to make the team. But when you get drafted, it's a better chance than not,
sure,
to make the team. There's some undrafted free agents, 6 of them. Several of these guys ended up on the same teams. Ended up with the Raiders. I think 3 are now 4 if Curtis Rourke is still with the Raiders, or the 49ers. Everybody's going out west.
Just terrific night for Indiana, a terrific week and entirely for Indiana to get all these guys opportunities. You're absolutely seeing the respect, I think, that the league has for the way these guys are coached, and that matters a lot when you get into the later rounds, because what they're ultimately looking for are guys to come in and fit, you know, that it's not about at that point. You're really looking for football players, you know, like some guys you might take a flyer on because they've got like really good measurables in the 6th or 7th round and hope they work out. But you got a much better chance of hanging around if you're picked later, if you're an undrafted free agent, if you're one of a really well-coached guy who can make an impact on special teams and really gets the game and then understands what it takes to make the most out of yourself, you know, because like the guys that stick are the guys that just keep showing up. and do, you know, like, and are doing the right things every day and are making an impact, make an impact on scout team, you know, like just, you know, just, I've only got to cover one NFL team closely, but the team I covered was the Steelers team in 2016 that went to the AFC title game and just saw just how much, you know, saw a lot of, several guys were undrafted free agents that stuck on that team because they just, you know, like whenever they were called upon, they did what they were asked to do. And, you know, they were smart football players and they took care of themselves. And, you know, they were smart about like they're preparing physically everything and making the most out of themselves. And so I think a lot of people look at these Indiana guys as guys that are going to be good at that. The guys that are going to be selfless players that are going to play within a system well, understand how a system works, understand how to diagnose what an offense is doing. Or just whatever their opponents are doing and play really, really hard. And so like, I think that it stands out, you know, that a lot of the guys that were picked as undrafted free agents, you know, the depth of that, but also where guys were picked and why. And I think a lot of it, there's several that you look at and say, okay, this guy's got some, you know, physical limitations, but like he does this, he's a very coachable player, and you know, coachable players stick in the NFL. It's tough. I mean, there's a lot of spots, but there's a lot of guys going for them. And it's tough to hang in the league for 3 to 5 years. You know, it's tough to make it through training camp. You know, it's tough to still be on the team when they cut down from 90 to 55. You know, that's a lot of guys who go home, you know, like from the start of training camp to the end of it. You know, like most other, you know, baseball, you have a whole minor league system, you know, basketball.
And there's no place else to go is the thing.
Right. Exactly. Like, I mean, like you go to spring ball, you can go to this, you can go to that. There's not a G League. There's not a minor league baseball. It's, you know, you make it or you don't, you know, like, and they remember you.
Do they have the European NFL?
They used to. I mean, like you've got the UFL now, you know, you have a USFL.
You can go to Canada.
You can, you know, like those are options, but it's not the same as having, you know, being able to stay in a system. You know, like you can in the NBA where you can stick in the G League, and in Major League Baseball, certainly when you know, a couple of days before camp breaks, it's like, all right, well, you're going to AAA camp and you're going to AA camp or whatever. And there's this massive, you know, like a baseball spring training organization is giant, you know, like you've got players all over the place, in whatever Florida or Arizona town you're in, you know, playing all kinds of different games, you know, on four different fields at once. And so like, that's a whole different world. But it's like they're like, hey, you're not going to make the big club. Okay. Well, we got four more or five more for you to go to. It used to be more than that. And you know, like you know, most of those guys didn't get cut. They had another spot to go to, you know, like the NFL, it's like, all right, cut down day is like right before Labor Day. And it's like, you're either going to be on this team or you're not. And some of those guys after that end up with someplace else to go. You know, you put stuff on tape and it leads to you getting a free agent contract someplace else immediately. But in some cases you're sitting out the next year and you're just stay in shape, go find someplace to be, you know, and hope that they saw something on tape to bring you back to camp next year, you know, and somebody did. And it's tough, but you know, I mean, I think these Indiana guys are really well built for it. And I think the league, you know, showed that and, you know, they did, you know, like I think, certainly did get guys drafted that were undersized or whatever. I think it said a lot for Kalen Black. Kalen Black didn't get invited to the combine, right?
I mentioned
third round pick. You know, I mean, like, third round, like that's not normal. Like
he's going to get signed. Well, I was shocked.
Guys get drafted when they don't go to the combine, but like, I was shocked too. I mean, I was really surprised. I don't understand how that happened in the first place. So like it makes less sense that he was not a combine invite than it does that he was a third round pick, but it is wild to have a guy who's not a combine invite be a third round pick. Like,
yeah,
like
I wonder the last time that happened.
It happens. Like, I mean, like fifth, sixth, seventh, you see it. Like third is high for a guy.
Yeah. Oh, that's he's pretty much guaranteed to sign a contract.
Oh yeah. No, they're all guaranteed to sign contract, but like he's almost guaranteed to break camp.
Yeah.
You know, like he's almost like you're rarely cutting. Someone's got to mess up if you're a third round pick to not make the team, you know, like.
Yeah.
Like,
Brady was a sixth round pick.
Right. I mean, anybody can make it, but like 5, 6, 7 is kind of the spot where like you could get cut, you know, and you could get cut through no fault of your own. Like that doesn't mean you messed up. It just means like there might not be numbers for you at 5, 6, 7, you know, like in terms of like whether you can stick. If you're a third round pick, they intend to keep you. You know, like you have to have a bad camp to not make the team as a third round pick. So
yeah, the NFL and NBA drafts mm-hmm. both have been greatly impacted by NIL and the ability for players to stay longer in college. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much it impacted this particular NFL draft. It didn't
seem to. The quarterback class.
Quarterback class.
Wildly. Like, it's nuts that Trinidad Chambliss is not in this draft. It's nuts.
How many quarterbacks went besides Simpson and Mendoza?
Like seven, but I'm gonna pull it up right now because
Diego Pavia invited someplace.
Right. Now I think Cleveland or something. Yeah, there were
Lollipop Guild.
You're awful.
Welcome to Cleveland.
You're terrible. I'm
a fan of his.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 quarterbacks were drafted in total. And I think it was only one, two, it was like three or four in the first three rounds. So it was like, it was Mendoza and Simpson the first round, Carson Beck in the third.
Surprised me.
What's that?
I'm wondering if he's not better than Ty Simpson.
He could be. You know how it is like with quarterbacks. Yeah. It's just like you, if you don't need one, you don't take one, you know? So, frankly, I don't know why the Rams took one in the first round.
Well, I don't either, especially him. Because that seems like a guy you're looking to develop to be a starter, not necessarily sure. Right off, but maybe that's, hey, they're looking down the road. But most quarterbacks now are not looking to sit on a bench for 3 or 4 years. Maybe they'll do it for a year or so, but they're going to, after that, that's about, I think, the length of time a guy wants to sit.
Yeah, he could be, I don't know, how old is Matt Stafford?
36, maybe, I think.
38. He's older than I thought.
He's old.
We're so used to the Rodgers and Brady for being around as long as he was and stuff like that. Like, I missed Matt Stafford being 38. Like, I did not expect to see that number. I thought he was 35, 36, something like that. Like, I thought he still had prime years left. Because he's still been really good. You know, I mean, he ain't playing like a 38-year-old. So, you know, I don't know how many more years Matt Stafford has being at the top of the line, but I get it a little bit more now.
D'Lo Pons goes in the second round as expected. Funny thing is, there are so many of these guys that ended up on the same teams.
Mm.
D'Angelo Pons and Omar Cooper, both going to the Jets. You had the Raiders picking up Fernando Mendoza. We just talked Kalon Black. And did they not take a third? E.J. Williams, I think.
They might have. I haven't seen the whole list of free
agents.
But
I think he was signed as an undrafted free agent by the Raiders. Then, like I said earlier, you've got the 49ers who have four former Indiana players on their roster right now. So, and then you have to look at the amount of these guys that came from James Madison. That is just a pretty cool thing to see them go in this draft all at the same or in the same draft. Let's see. Fernando Mendoza was a two-star recruit. D'Angelo Pons, JMU. Kalon Black, JMU, two-star. Elijah Surratt, JMU, zero-star recruit. Riley Nowakowski, a walk-on at Wisconsin. And Aiden Fisher, a JMU transfer and zero-star recruit. Omar Cooper and Pat Coogan each didn't have NFL expectations before this season as well. So there's that. And Pat Coogan came off of, you know, a national semifinal run at Notre Dame and was maybe overlooked because of some of their running backs. But great, great haul, and just a great take. And man, what's up next for you, Dustin DePirik?
Just fiddling along, waiting two more weeks for the lottery. So, and I think I've got the end of my kind of end of season stuff running today. I got a piece today about the, you know, kind of six questions the Pacers have going into the offseason. There's obviously the lottery itself, but, you know, sort of other decisions they have to make from a front office standpoint.
What's the biggest question?
I mean, obviously it's, you know, what are they going to do if they win the lottery?
What are they going to do if they don't?
Right. The other question, I mean, that's the other interesting one. I mean, I think in that case, if you have to fill one spot, if you look at it and say, okay, well, what's one thing that you need? I think they've got to go get a two guard off the bench that can score. You know, like they obviously let Mathurin, traded Mathurin. So, you know, not necessarily a similar player, but, you know, a two guard who can score off the bench would make a difference. That would kind of complete that second unit. You know, you've got guys that can put the ball in the bucket, but like, I think you want somebody who can really get their own. And, you know, you obviously have McConnell that can create for everybody. And then you've got Toppin as a guy that can kind of be a run ahead, you know, forward there. And you know, Jairus Walker, who's proved he's can score it a little bit, but you know, I think you really want a guy, you know, off the bench that can on a given occasion go get you 20. You know, like doesn't have to average 20. Certainly is going to average 20. Average more like 12 or 13, somewhere in that range. But on a given night, that you got to have somebody different, you know, get you buckets, go get you 20. And I think I don't know where you look for that. You know, you're not going to have a whole lot of free agent money to deal with. It's going to be exception money. You know, they'll probably be I think they'll be a taxpayer, as if you will. They'll be in the luxury tax. It'll just, you know, the way the salaries are going to increase, they're going to be right there. I think right now they're like $250,000 under the salary cap, or not the salary cap. They're way over the salary cap. They're, I think, $250,000 under the luxury tax threshold. So they're not going to be able to just throw money at people. There's going to be a limited number of guys that are going to be able to go get that would fit that role. But they had to, I think they had to go get somebody. They might have to trade into the draft and get a second rounder if they don't get a lottery pick. So I think they have to try to find one more piece. And I think that's the direction they have to go. I think if they keep everything else together, and if they let Kobe Brown walk in free agency to open up a roster spot, if they don't get, you know, if they don't get the lottery pick, then I think the direction they have to move is go try to find a two guard who can put the ball in the bucket off the bench.
Dustin DePirik, Indy Stars insider for the Pacers. Make sure you're giving him a follow as we get closer and closer to draft day and a lottery day. Are you feeling lucky, punk? Huh? Appreciate you, my friends.
Absolutely. Thanks as always, Jim.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir. And Maxine, we've got more coming up on Indiana Sports Beat Radio as this Monday rolls on right after these messages. Welcome back. I hope everything is going well for you on this Monday. Jim Coyle with you as always. And looking forward to this week just going along as things are kind of quiet, but the Kentucky Derby's coming up this weekend, something to watch on TV, and it's going to be kind of chilly, it looked, but the month of May follows that as well. So hopefully everybody has got something to do coming up, and we'll see. But let's see. Waiting for Randy Carricker. I thought he was going to try to join us on here, but don't know if he got the message. But I know that, let's see, they had the official Fernando Mendoza ball that they were going to show us, but it's similar to this from Nyko Sports, NIKCO Sports.com. This is one of those that goes in your trophy case, baby. This thing is a 3-panel embossed football for the celebration of the 2025 Indiana's champion, national championship. Every game score embossed on here, the helmet logo, the Big Ten championship scores, all of the bowl games, the CFP, all the logos, the IU logos, the championship logos, the CFP game, bowl game logos, all embossed on here. Pretty good looking ball. Just go to nikosports.com, nikosports.com. So we'll see if Randy will join us later, but hopefully so. Otherwise, what else do you have planned for this week? Not a lot going on as far as events during the week. It's a wait period now, as Drew the producer, now that we've gotten through Little Five, nothing but baseball going on for college right now as we wait for the NBA draft. Now a few teams are still filling out rosters. Indiana, like I said, they've got a visit coming up for them with the San Francisco transfer, and other than that, it's going to be just getting that stuff to fill out. But I'm not sure they're going to fill the entire roster. We'll see. But we've got another month before they come together. So I would imagine now they're in a position to where they've got the pieces that they need. Now it's just fill in a... like the kid from San Francisco, he's a fill piece, a backup piece, 6'9" center. Not that big for a center, but it's just a piece that you can put in there. But you're also going to have guys like Trent Sisley in their second year. So it's going to be interesting to see how this team plays, because last year, I've seen a lot of people talk about this 5-for-5, wondering if people like Lamar Wilkerson, they're not coming back. And if this thing gets passed, I think that it passes with a year in abeyance, you know, that they try to put a gap in this thing. So we don't have this issue like we did after COVID, when it took 50 years to stretch that out and get rid of that stuff. So we shall see. Randy Carricker, join me now. How are you, Randy?
Please, how are you?
I cannot complain. Good. I was just talking earlier about the previous ball that Nico put out. I just arrived Friday to me, and it's amazing. I've been telling everybody, this is, if you have a trophy case or an IU room, you got to have these in there, because these things are incredible. This one, the IU championship ball itself, embossed on three panels with all of the games, all of the logos, all of the stadium history, football history, and a limited edition. And now you've got one for Fernando Mendoza.
Yeah, and it really is amazing, Jim, when you think about the story that Mendoza is, right? Because he's at Cal, and he's kind of a no-name out there on the West Coast. Not that he was a bad quarterback or anything, but he gets to Indiana, he gets there with Coach Sigg, and all of a sudden, things turn into magic for him. And I watched him all season long. I'm fortunate enough to have a Heisman Trophy vote, and man, that Penn State game, I thought, okay, I was on the fence, there were other guys I was looking at, but I thought, he's my Heisman Trophy winner with that drive against Penn State. And he became such a legend throughout the season. And at Nyko Sports, we thought, you know what, we've got to honor this legend, just like the legendary football team. So we have commissioned this football, which is absolutely beautiful. And it's got a couple of action shots of Fernando Mendoza as he's going through that season. It's got results of all the games, all of his statistics for every game at Indiana. And it really is great, like you say, to put on a shelf, or whether or not you want to put it in your man cave in your office. If you want to show your Indiana and Fernando Mendoza fandom, then this is a great item to have, and people can get it by going to nikosports.com. That's nikosports.com, or just giving them a call, 800-345-2868, 1-800-345-2868. But like you showed with that ball, that one was beautiful, and this one is just as beautiful, and I think people really love it. IU fans will love it, and I just really am proud of what Nyko Sports has produced here. They make great stuff, as you saw with that football, and this is another great one.
Absolutely, and we'll when those arrive, we're going to make available to the fans to win one of those, and they can also win one of these, the national championship balls that are out, which are again pretty incredible, and a limited edition, even less available of the Fernando ball. I believe what 2026 of those.
That's exactly right. Yeah, 2026. So 2026 of those balls will be made available to IU fans. And hey, how often are we going to have a first pick in the draft? Last time it happened for IU was 1938. It doesn't happen very often. So this is just a guy to celebrate the Heisman Trophy, the first pick in the draft, the national championship. And he was the trigger man for all of it. So we want to celebrate Fernando Mendoza as much as we can. And I know IU fans will want to have this. And like you said, a limited number of these footballs are going to be available. And if people make the phone call or hop online right now, they can order them.
And again, that is eight. That's the right number right there, right?
800-345-2868. That's right. If, if people don't want to write it down, just I always like to do that acronym on the phone. And this is 800-345-BUNT, B-U-N-T. The first time, Jim, I ever worked with Nyko Sports was Mark McGuire baseball bats back in the late 90s. And those were beautiful products, too. And we just thought it was kind of ironic that for Mark McGuire, of all people, we were doing 800-345-BUNT. But that's what it is.
Absolutely. And it's nykosports.com if you don't want to do that. That is nykosports.com. Again, these are incredible balls to have, and the fact that they're a limited edition, pretty nice. Not one you want to throw around in the yard. Don't let the boys take this out and throw these around because they're too good looking. And that's incredible. I mean, the fact that you could have the undefeated season ball and the Fernando ball, they should make a deal for those. Buy them both. Get a bargain. Buy them both. There you go. But
the way, this one is $129.95 for the Fernando Mendoza ball. It's a bargain. It'll be a valuable piece of property, not only from a sentimental standpoint for IU fans, but for those of the people that like to get involved in a little investment. Having a ball like this with only 2026 available, it'll be a great investment because there's only going to be one first Indiana Heisman Trophy winner, right? And when he becomes a Pro Bowler, when he becomes a champion in the NFL, this ball will only increase in value.
And this is an official ball. This is not something somebody's doing off market.
Yeah, exactly. It's full sized. It's got the three white panels, and it's got the one brown panel. And it's something we talk about, Jim, only the 2026 being made. And you can't go out to Dick's Sporting Goods or Walmart or hop onto Amazon and get this. It's only available through Nyko Sports. It's officially licensed through Mendoza and the NFLPA. And this is something that, heck, I'm going to love having on my bookcase, and I think people will love having it on their shelves wherever they want to put it. Great thing in your office, like you have said, have both footballs up on a shelf in your office or in your man cave, wherever you want to display your IU and Mendoza fandom. And you've got two. You saw the one action shot there. You've got two with action shots. All the statistics, the score of every single game, beating Ohio State, winning in the national championship against Miami. So if you ever have a question, hey, that Penn State game that I mentioned, hey, what happened on November 8th of 2025 with Mendoza? And you'll be able to recall that big drive that he had in the fourth quarter with the touchdown of the year to beat Penn State and preserve the unbeaten record and set them on their way to their national championship.
Yeah, pretty cool. I mean, this thing is not just three panels. It looks to be about every panel but one.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And as you look, is just turn the laces, and you've got the stats there with the incredible national championship logo. And then, like we said, the action shots of Fernando Mendoza, and really a great likeness of him. And as I mentioned, a certificate of authenticity. You see the limited edition of 2026. Well, each ball, Jim, comes with a certificate with the number that your ball is, so that you know in the limited edition exactly which one you received.
Randy Carricker, appreciate you, my friend.
Jim, great to be with you. And again, I hope folks will go to Nyko Sports. And I think we still might have, I'm not sure if the national championship ball is sold out. If it's not sold out, we have very few left. But the Fernando Mendoza ball available now because he was the first pick in the draft. And can't wait for people to enjoy this football.
Looking forward to it, buddy. Appreciate you joining us.
Jim, great to be with you. Great show as always. Thank you so much and have a great day.
That's going to wrap it up for us today. Keep it locked on 1380 The Fan, Fort Wayne's only sports station. Till tomorrow, I'm Jim Coyle. I will see you on the radio.
Thanks for listening to Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube page for more clips and team coverage of Indiana basketball, football, and more. You can also find full episodes and tons of other content on thehoosier.com. We'll see you next time for another edition of Indiana Sports Beat Radio.